Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ruthless Moon by Jen L. Gray, narrated by Bridget Bordeaux. Chapter 1. Foolishly, I blinked several times. My eyes weren't playing tricks on me. No matter how many times I opened them, praying to see something else, anything else, the image didn't change. Scarlet hair with black streaks flowed past her shoulders, framing the neckline of the tight, short black lace dress she wore. Her heavily lined, misty gray eyes searched for any sign of the person she was supposed to meet. There was no doubt it was Erin. She stood at the back of the Shell station in one of the parking spaces, leaning against the driver's side door of her black sedan. Thankfully, we were in one of the Vampire's standard black Suburbans and not Griffin's Navigator, or she probably would have recognized us. In the back of the Suburban, Killian tightened his arm around my shoulders, nudging me closer to his side. Tingles jolted between us as our faded mate bond sprang to life. Between that and his sandalwood scent, my head grew dizzy. But now wasn't the time. We were more at war than we'd known. Killian's angular jaw clenched as his mocha brown irises darkened, and he ran a free hand through his short cappuccino hair. He gritted out,
"That's why she let Tom live."
Tom was the late Wolfshifter Alpha who, along with his pack, had tried to kill many of us several times as part of his conspiracy to betray our kind to humans and gain revenge on my mother, who'd broken up with him many years ago when she'd met my father, her fated mate. Leaning over his center aisle seat toward Sierra, Torak narrowed his dark green eyes. The dark ends of his long ponytail fell over his shoulder.
"Who is this person, and which one is she? Several people are standing outside their cars at the gas station."
Torak was one of our new allies and the alpha of his own pack. We'd recently met him and his stepsister Sadie, a Fey Wolfshifter made it to Donovan, the alpha of another pack that included his best friend Axel and Axel's mate Roxy. With them had come other unique allies we were getting to know. Glancing over the headrest of the front passenger seat, Sterlin addressed him, her iridescent purple irises reflecting the light from outside.
"The woman with red and black hair is the priestess of the Shadow City Witch Coven, and a fellow city council member with Griffin and me. She should be an ally. But there's only one reason she'd be here, since she almost never leaves the city."
Sterlin pulled her light silver hair behind her shoulders as she glanced out of Griffin's driver's side window.
"She's the person we're supposed to meet."
Griffin's hands tightened on the steering wheel, causing his knuckles to whiten. He kept his attention on the road and drove past the station. The air from the vents blew against his face, but his golden brown hair contained so much gel that it didn't budge.
"And obviously she's working against us."
Making a fist, Sierra growled.
"With all the shit she's pulled over the years, does that really surprise you?"
Her light gray irises darkened to slate, and she tugged at the ends of her ponytail, wrapping the sandy blonde strands around her fingers.
"Now I feel bad that I ever gave Daisy the official bitch title. I take it back. It officially goes to Erin."
I'd met Daisy, and she hadn't seemed that bad. Surely Sierra had to mean someone else.
"Sierra, please. Daisy's part of our pack."
Killian rasped and closed his eyes.
"There's a reason she stays far away from us, including me, her alpha."
Torak raised his hand.
"I hate to interject and ruin the moment here about Daisy, but I still don't understand why someone from your city is here."
"Damn it, sexy dummy."
Sierra's head snapped toward him.
"It's not my city."
She raised a finger like a sword and sliced the air between them.
"I may live on the outskirts of Shadow City in the Ridge, but that place is not my home, nor would I ever want it to be."
Though the situation was dire, the corners of my mouth tipped upward. Leave it to Sierra to tell us exactly what she thought and how she felt.
"Sierra!"
Killian warned. I placed a hand on his chest to calm him and myself.
Aaron working with the humans who had kidnapped and experimented on wolf shifters was worse than Tom doing the same. She was a witch who could track people down, and she had secrets she would kill to keep. Aaron has always been working against us. She has influence in the city, especially as a representative of the witches on the council. And she's worked with people who didn't have the city's best interests at heart before. Sirlin rubbed her temples. I'd hoped that with Asbogaz's death, Shadow City being revealed to the world and humans coming after us, we might finally be able to trust her somewhat. Clearly, I was wrong.
No clue who Asbogaz is, or was, but I get the gist.
Torak leaned back in his seat.
So, since she knows all of you, it's a good thing I came along.
Though I was new to the group, I'd seen Aaron for the first time after we'd rescued my grandparents' pack from those humans. She'd shown up as Tom and his pack had been attacking us during the escape. She had implied that she and her coven were going to kill Tom's people. I'd met her personally when she'd visited our pack neighborhood after we'd learned that Tom's pack was still alive. Aaron had vowed that she'd spared him so she could learn who was kidnapping packs. But now it seemed she'd been helping Tom find another pack to betray to the humans experimenting on wolf shifters. She must be in communication with the humans. Otherwise, how would she know to be here? Griffin frowned and turned in at a Dunkin' Donuts a few blocks down. I understood how he felt. We barely knew Torak, Sadie, and their other pack members. And though we were beginning to trust them, especially after fighting beside them during the most recent battle against Tom's pack, trust took time to build.
Are you really going to let him meet with Aaron?
Sierra linked with Killian and me.
We just met him, and he tried to shoot us.
She was holding a grudge, and we'd already discussed why he'd done that. Given the situation, I'd remind her one last time. He didn't know who we were. And we pulled up in standard government-issued black Suburbans. When Sadie told him not to shoot, he put the gun down.
Semantics, she retorted.
Glancing at Killian, I was momentarily distracted by his long eyelashes and full lips. Even in a dreadful situation, he stole my breath.
For the love of the gods,
Killian rolled his eyes.
Let it go, Sierra. None of us wants him to meet with her, but he's right. Our hands are tied. She'll recognize the rest of us.
So?
Sierra spun in her seat to glare at Killian, then spoke out loud.
Why don't we confront her? We shouldn't have to hide.
I bit my cheek so I wouldn't answer. This was something Killian needed to address as her alpha.
I can say with complete confidence that every single one of us here wants to march over and confront Aaron.
Killian released his hold on me and straightened.
But she'll have an excuse, and all we'll do is give her an advantage over us again. If we want to get ahead of her for once, we have to pretend we're in the dark.
I placed my hand on Sierra's arm to comfort her. Egan and Jade have had plenty of time to get far enough away from everyone. Egan and Jade were two dragon shifters with whom we'd also recently allied. And if Torak drives off without us, we can call Rosemary, Lo, April, or Pawpaw for help. They're with Sadie, helping everyone bury the dead. There's not much risk in Torak going. We can find him if he betrays us. Torak shook his head.
And I thought Jade had trust issues.
He reached forward and grabbed the shirt Egan had provided for Aaron's location spell. It was supposed to belong to someone from a wolf pack whose location, Tom, was betraying to the humans. Egan and Jade were flying far away so that whenever Aaron performed the location spell, Egan would be nowhere near the site where we'd fought and killed Tom. Torak ripped the shirt in half and handed one part to Sierra.
There. You now have a way to find Egan via your witch friends if I do something shady.
Her face fell, but she took the piece of fabric from him, her fingers brushing his. She linked.
He needs to stay in the vehicle. He needs to stay safe.
Her eyes widened, and she slapped her free hand over her mouth. Head jerking back, Killian furrowed his brows. Sierra's reaction reminded me of when I hadn't understood my connection to Killian. I didn't envy those unsettling emotions,
and I hoped she figured them out. Now that Killian and I were settled with each other, our relationship was better than everything before. Torak's hand dropped, and the corners of his eyes tightened. His attention flicked among Killian, me, and Sierra, then lingered on her. He asked,
"Are you okay?"
His tone held an edge. "No," she snapped and dropped her hands. "I mean, yeah, we're fine." She hung her head and linked. "I'm so sorry. I don't know why I said that. Of course I want all of us to be safe and not just him."
"I think something's wrong with her."
Killian linked with me.
"This is odd behavior, even for Sierra. She's never shocked herself."
"Maybe they're fated mates?" I didn't want to say they definitely were, but her reaction indicated more than just attraction, and holding on to anger made it easier to deny the pull. That I understood. I'd been in the same situation not even a month ago. Killian tilted his head and squinted. While he pondered my words, I tried to ease Sierra's concern. "It's fine. We're all highly emotional. We know you don't want harm to come to us either." Griffin parked the SUV in a spot at the back of the restaurant where Aaron wouldn't see us. He tapped his fingers on the steering wheel.
"I guess we'd better get out. It'll look suspicious if Torak doesn't pull up in the vehicle."
Soon, all six of us were standing by the store, and Sierra rushed to the driver's side door where Torak was ready to get back in. He towered over her 5'8" frame by several inches and was double her size and musculature. When she reached him, she stopped abruptly. "Don't try to kill her like you did us." She lifted her chin, but her bottom lip quivered. "But if you do, make sure she can't come back." He smiled.
"Don't worry. I'm an excellent fighter. You saw what I could do earlier tonight."
She licked her lips and tossed her hair over her shoulder. "You were all right." Now they were flirting. Though I was all about Sierra finding someone so we didn't have to keep hearing her complain about being single, now was not the time. Griffin cleared his throat.
"Erin isn't known for her patience."
Torak took a hurried step back and opened the door.
"Does anyone know what to expect? Should I know anything in particular?"
No one spoke. Then Sterling rubbed her hands together. Tom likely would have brought Aaron a piece of clothing belonging to someone he held a grudge against. If asked, I would insinuate you aren't sure of the specifics, but that they wronged your alpha in some way, and that's all that matters to you.
"You're young enough that following orders without question is normal, and an alpha, especially one like Tom, never likes to share all the ways that someone made them look bad."
Killian took my hand.
"Worst case, if things go awry, we'll be there in seconds to have your back."
And I'd fallen in love with an amazing guy. Even when I'd blamed him for the disappearance of my grandparents and mom, this type of promise had made me thaw toward him almost immediately. Torak nodded and climbed into the driver's seat. When he moved to shut the door, Sierra damn near shouted, "Wait!" He paused and lifted a brow. "Be careful, okay?" She fidgeted, and her gaze traveled to Sterling, Griffin, Killian, and me. "We kinda need you to stay in one piece so we don't blow our cover."
Thanks.
His voice rose at the end, making it sound like a question. When he shut the door and started the engine, Sierra inched closer, her attention locked on Torak. He looked at her before backing out, and she exhaled loudly like she was in pain. Sterling and Griffin glanced at each other. "Hey," I said and patted Sierra's shoulder. "We need to move so we can keep an eye on the meeting. Are you okay?" She spun toward me and bobbed her head. She said in a rush, "Of course I'm fine."
"I'm going out on a limb here and saying she's not fine. When Olive used to say that, it meant she was the opposite of fine."
At the mention of his late sister, Killian smiled sadly.
"And to this day, I'm not sure what the opposite of fine is. All I know is that it's scary, and I had a knack for making it worse."
Meaning he'd either tried to fix her problem or attempted to be understanding when he'd had no clue. Once again, he'd been a good guy, if a little misguided.
Let's go toward the back of the parking lot.
Griffin waved at us to follow him. I gestured to the four cars blocking the back.
There's a drive-thru. We could get blocked in. It's best to go around to the front.
We were still far enough down the road and at an angle that Aaron wouldn't be able to see us. Three buildings stood between us and the Shell station, so we didn't need to lurk behind the buildings, trying to remain undetected, and risk making the humans suspicious. We needed to do something to put their minds at ease, like stay in front near the road. Torak drove past the gas station and I froze. What was he doing? My heart pounded and my throat constricted.
I knew we couldn't trust him!
Sierra spat and her hands clenched.
We shouldn't have given him the vehicle!
He missed the exit back to the interstate, and realization slowly dawned on me. He wasn't abandoning us. He's turning around so it'll look like he just got off the interstate when he pulls into the gas station. Sterling laughed.
Thank gods he thought of that. I didn't consider that she'd know which direction Tom would be coming from. Of course she's aware this is the halfway point between where Tom was staying near the latest missing pack in Shadow City.
Sierra's tension melted away.
So he's not betraying us?
The hope in her voice was thick.
You might be right.
Killian linked and pursed his lips.
But I don't know if he's good enough for her. She's a pain, but she's...
He trailed off, unsure what to say. Maybe before we'd bonded, I'd have been insecure or jealous, but not anymore. I knew exactly what he meant. Like a sister. He flinched.
Yeah. Sierra, Griffin, and Sterling were the closest thing I had to a family until you came along.
My chest warmed. They're still family. Our family. Griffin strolled to the next building over, some sort of vape store. There was a second gas station between this store and the one at which Aaron was parked, but we couldn't go there because Aaron would have a clear view of us.
We need to stay here and listen,
Sterling said as we walked past the windows of the vape store and sat at the edge of the curb, where there weren't any parked cars.
What?
Sierra placed a hand on her neck.
We told him we'd be there in seconds if something went wrong.
We needed to calm her before she drew unwanted attention. I bit my bottom lip. And we can reach him quickly. Aaron won't attempt anything too drastic with all the humans around. She might want to work with them, but she won't want them to target her. Griffin yanked at his dark polo shirt.
Jewel's right. Think about it. Whenever there's a risk of getting caught on video, she doesn't come around. Not even at the entrance to Shadow City. She doesn't want to be on television.
She wants to stay off the human's radar.
Sterling lifted her hands.
Whatever the reason, I'm sure it's one that is working to her advantage and not ours.
The silence spoke to everyone's agreement. Before anyone said more, the Suburban reappeared, and Torak pulled into the gas station.
Everyone, try to listen,
Sterling murmured. Obeying, I focused to filter out the traffic and other excess noise. As soon as I keyed in on the Suburban's engine, the vehicle turned off. A door opened and closed, and steady footsteps sounded. Torak was walking toward Aaron. My lungs seized. Not being able to see what was transpiring had sweat pooling in my armpits. Minutes passed, and nothing was said.
This can't be good,
I linked with Killian. I'd figured that Aaron would be in a hurry and jump right to the point. We had no clue what was going on, and the urge to check on him nearly overwhelmed me. Being able to link to him would have been amazing, but he wasn't in the same pack as any of us. We couldn't communicate with him.
That's it,
Sierra said and marched toward the gas station. Killian released me and snagged her by the arm, linking with both of us.
Not yet.
Nothing is happening.
Sierra jerked, trying to get free.
She must be onto him.
Should I know you?
Aaron asked finally, and all five of us held our breaths. Torak cleared his throat.
No.
I wanted to smack him. She was feeling out if this was the shifter she was supposed to meet. But I couldn't do anything to salvage his misstep without exposing us.
Then I guess there is nothing further to discuss, she replied, and her high heels clacked on the cement. My shoulders sagged. This wasn't working, and we couldn't do a thing about it because Tom was dead. This had been our one chance.
Wait. Tom told me about you. He described you, and I can smell who you are,
Torak said urgently.
You can't leave.
Not only did Tom not come, but you think you can tell me what to do? Aaron replied. Give me one good reason not to leave your ass right now.
Fear sat heavy in my stomach. If he outed us, he'd gain her trust and try to negotiate the safety of his own pack. Most alphas would do just that. Had we let our marginal trust of Sadie compromise our judgment? Chapter 2. Heart hammering, I held my breath. I had to go with my gut and believe he wouldn't rat us out. Torak murmured, almost too low for my shifter hearing.
I assume you don't want to be the one running around and collecting items like someone unimportant. You'd rather have someone do the dirty work for you. But if that's not the case, fine.
I inhaled, feeling dizzy. Normally, I trusted my instincts, but so much was at stake that every decision we made had a good chance of being wrong. When she didn't immediately respond, I scooted closer to Killian, our legs brushing. Under ordinary circumstances, I'd have found it humorous that Griffin and Killian were sitting the way they were. They were both so tall and muscular that it was almost comical how uncomfortable they appeared, hunkered down on a cement block in the middle of a congested highway.
She's going to leave, Sierra linked as she plopped down beside me. As long as she doesn't hurt him, everything will be okay.
She won't hurt him.
Killian tensed and looked around me.
We need her to believe that Tom is alive without seeing him. Levi can't pretend to be Tom for much longer.
He was right. This was kind of a Hail Mary, and if it didn't work, we were screwed. We couldn't make Tom magically appear.
Why didn't Tom come? Aaron asked warily. Unfortunately, she was smart and cautious. That made things more difficult.
Please let him be quick on his feet,
Griffin whispered from the other end of the line. Sterling sat between him and Sierra.
He's buried from the battle,
Torak huffed.
Didn't your contact share that information with you? Tom couldn't make it, so I came instead.
I snickered. That was a good play on words. He hadn't lied.
Of course the contact told me that,
she said indignantly.
But that doesn't mean I can't question it for myself.
Sterling's shoulders sagged, and my body mirrored hers. So far, Torak was pulling this off.
I was told to give you this,
Torak said. He had to be handing her Egan's shirt. An 18-wheeler rushed past us, adding more noise interference. I closed my eyes to enhance my hearing.
This smells familiar.
Aaron's tone held a warning.
It smells of silver wolf.
My head dropped, and my pulse pounded. We hadn't considered that Sterling touching the shirt would transfer her scent to it. Though she hadn't worn it, there was enough essence for Aaron to notice it.
What do you expect?
Torak asked with intense annoyance.
Silver wolves were part of the fight. We were all attacked and fighting, and I had to leave abruptly to get here in time.
Sterling chuckled. He's good. I had to agree. I wasn't sure I'd be so quick thinking in his place.
He's all right, Sierra interjected as her leg bounced.
She wouldn't give Torak any credit. I laid my head on Killian's shoulder and linked. I thought when she found her fated mate, she'd be all love-struck. I didn't expect this.
Maybe he's not her fated mate,
Killian replied and wrapped an arm around me.
You could be reading into things.
I lifted my head and glared at him. Tisking, Aaron cleared her throat.
I told Tom not to get arrogant. The last time you all were winning was by sheer luck and numbers. I'd never admit it to any of them, but the Silver Wolves and their friends are worthy adversaries. They somehow get involved in everything, even when it's hundreds of miles away from them.
I can see that,
he replied.
Are you going to do whatever it is you're supposed to do, or are we going to stand around all day and chat?
Listen here, mutt, Aaron rasped. We may be on the same side, but that doesn't mean I like or respect you. Continue talking to me that way, and I won't meet with you again.
Fine,
he gritted out.
I just want to get back to the pack.
Her heels clacked again. And I need to get back to the city. I'll do the spell there. It's not like I can do it here. She had a point. All it would take was one human looking in her direction at just the right time to see something strange occurring.
We need to contact Egan and Jade somehow.
Griffin stood and stretched.
They could head back too soon from wherever they went and raise suspicion.
Sterling climbed to her feet and removed her phone from her back pocket. I'll text Sadie. I'm sure one of them knows how to get a hold of them. She typed on her phone.
Don't get too excited. Sierra frowned and rubbed her hands on her thighs. He's still there with her. He's not out of danger yet, Torak said.
Then how are we supposed to know where to go?
I'll call Tom, Aaron replied slowly. Or do you have a problem with that? She was getting suspicious. Torak needed to stop pushing her for answers.
No, he's just eager.
Torak chuckled humorlessly. And that's his problem, Aaron cut in. He's rash and doesn't think his strategy through. If he's not careful, he'll get himself killed. This time, Torak's laugh was genuine.
You sound like you care.
I don't care. It's a matter of convenience, Aaron said smoothly. I need him to keep the status quo for now. She moved again, and a car door opened. I'll call Tom soon, but first, I have to get back to the city. The door shut, and a car engine started. Killian, Sierra, and I stood, and the five of us pressed back against the brick building, even though, from this position, Aaron probably wouldn't notice us. The Suburban's engine hummed to life, indicating that Torak was in his vehicle as well.
Let's go!
Sierra waved and took a step toward the gas station.
We should get to him before he pulls out!
Killian grabbed her arm again and yanked her back to the wall with us. He murmured,
Aaron hasn't left yet, and she could have backup watching. We need to go back to Duncan so he can pick us up.
But...
Sierra started. But Aaron's black sedan pulled to the other side of the gas station and idled near the exit. She must be waiting for Torak to drive away.
There's a reason we haven't caught Aaron until now.
Sterling licked her lips.
She's careful. We need to get back to Duncan and wait for Torak.
The Suburban pulled around to the other side of the gas station, and Griffin gritted his teeth.
If she follows him there, there's only so much hiding we can do.
Especially when we weren't inside the donut shop. I hadn't considered that she might watch him when we'd moved closer to eavesdrop. Body coiled. I would have done almost anything to be able to link with Torak. He needed to drive away from us. When he pulled onto the road and went in the opposite direction, my legs nearly gave out. I'd been so certain he would come here. After a few cars had passed, Aaron pulled out and followed him, and I imagined she was watching to see which direction he went. She'd expect him to get on I-75, heading back toward Knoxville.
Let's get inside Duncan in case she follows him here.
Sterling hurried past Sierra, Killian, and me, rushing back toward where we'd been dropped off. Griffin was right on her heels, with the rest of us taking up the rear. The urgency of the situation had my wolf surging forward and wanting to use her magic. In times like these, being raised around humans came in handy. I was used to suppressing the magic inside me even when it was desperate to get out. To soothe my turbulent emotions and magic, I used my childhood technique of meditating on music and played Debussy's Arabesque No. 1 in my head. The beautiful tone of the clarinet had my fingers itching to learn how to play the instrument. Instead, I looped my arm through Killian's, letting his touch quash my remaining turmoil.
Are you okay?
Killian asked as my emotions...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?